This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Head Stuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com.
The World According to Wikipedia is a podcast that dons an old-fashioned diving suit to take a deep dive into the depths of Wikipedia with your intrepid hosts, Rebecca and Fanula.
Each episode, we will talk to someone from the Wikimedia community, exploring topics such as harnessing the viral meme potential of Wikipedia articles, why librarians are Wikipedia's biggest fans, how Wikimedians created the largest photography competition in the world ever, and why do some Wikimedians love soft toys so much?
Subscribe on your podcatcher of choice and follow us on Twitter at world_Wikipedia.
Welcome to this latest episode of our Film Network Ireland Rap Chat podcast. I'm your host, Mia Malarkey. This podcast is available on Head Stuff Plus, on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you find your audio-related content. So welcome to the show. And today we are going to be speaking with the wonderful writer, actor, and director, Derek Ugochukwu. So he recently finished a master's in screenwriting, and he's since then been nominated for a Discovery Award at DIFF. His short film, To All My Darlings, which he wrote, was nominated for a BAFTA Student Film Award, which is an incredible start to his film career. And he directed his first short film, You're Not Home, which had its world premiere at the Galway FLA this year. So he's off to a flying start. How's it going? Thanks so much for coming in and chatting.
Thank you very much, Mia. It's very good to be here.
And I want to start by saying a huge congratulations on your short film.
Thank you.
You're Not Home.
Yeah.
So is that, am I correct?
Yes, that's,
yes,
that's
perfect,
what it's called.
Perfect. And that was at the FLA last week.
Yes, yes.
Amazing.
We premiered the FLA.
Yes, that was your world premiere.
World premiere. Mm-hmm.
Great.
First time seeing it on the screen, big screen with the whole cast.
Exciting.
Yeah.
Class. It's a competitive festival to get into.
So we've heard.
Yeah. So you did well. And how many, were there many of you from the cast and crew?
Because it was a very small cast, and we only had, I think, maybe like five, like total 10 of us. Were there, and then we had friends, well wishers from other films who also showed up to watch ours. So that was great. You know, it's all piled in one program anyway. So there was a full room of people watching, but like 10 people specifically, just yeah, for our film. So it was just a small crowd, but like very powerful, very passionate crowd.
Amazing. And how did you find the audience reaction?
So we screened on a Saturday, 10 a.m. And I don't know, I didn't expect the reaction. So for me, I just panicked. As soon as the film finished, I just ran off. I ran out of the room, and then lit run. And people came up to us and were like, oh, they liked the film. Do you enjoy the film? And things like that. But I don't know why. I was ready until the moment when all the film premiered and everyone's... Mm. I just don't know why. I just got cold feet and I ran out.
Oh. I totally understand. It's very nerve-wracking. Because you pour so much time and energy into it, and then finally you show to the world, so it's quite terrifying.
Because it is.
You know, and yeah. I know whenever I watch my film for the first time with a full audience, I actually am so uptight that I can't feel what the audience are feeling. So I can't, if someone came up afterwards like, God, you got a great reaction, I actually didn't register it at all.
Really? Yeah.
I'm too nervy during the screening.
But that wasn't like, when I was watching Safe as Houses, the one you directed, I mean, I was just like, oh God, like, so it was such a good thing to meet you afterwards and by chance, because I didn't, you know, and, you know, so it was great. I know Sarah, who wrote the film, and then being introduced, I've always known of your name and I've seen you in places, but to meet you in person was just was like, that's me.
That's lovely. Thanks. Well, the experience you talked about, I have the exact same experience. So I'd say it probably never really goes away. It's kind of like you're the first time you hand your creation over and you don't know, will the world accept it or reject it? So it's always a tense moment, that is, handover. Yeah. Your film reminded me a little of the work of Jordan Peele. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Oh, God.
Do you like his work?
I love his work.
Yeah,
I
mean, okay.
Oh, geez, okay. Really though?
Yeah, honestly. Okay. He was the first director that kind of popped into my head when I was watching your short.
Wow, that is a huge compliment. I would take it. Thank you so much. Jordan is an amazing, like, he, of course, I've watched everything he's done. I'm a big fan of his work. And to be honest, when we were even doing it, like, I had someone else in mind. So you're not the first who was like, we've gotten a bit of that Jordan Peele thingy. And that was great to get such a feedback. So definitely I'm taking it. Thank you very much.
Who was the other director you had in mind?
He's a new director, Remy Wicks. He did the film His House, the feature film His House.
Okay.
And that was sort of like I just loved the feeling, and I never knew him before then, so I had to do a bit more, and I was just kind of curious to see his work, and also, yeah.
Yeah, does he do horror as well?
No, that was his first feature.
Okay.
That was his first feature. So I was kind of seeing if I could even see a short film he's done before, but I couldn't really find much. Yeah. You know, he's one of those
lucky bastards. Yeah, he just gets it right.
Yeah, so I'm very keen to see what he does next, because, yeah, I think he won the BAFTA for original screenplay last year. And he's
an inspiration.
He's an inspiration, yeah. Big time.
Well, you have an interesting backstory, because you came from something completely different and said, right, I'm going to jump ship and do something radical. So where did you come from, and then what caused you to have a change of heart?
Film has always been a thing, right? So I grew up in Nigeria, and six of us, okay, we were four for a long time, and then we had two younger ones. My mom always says, oh, it was a, you know, but, you know, we're very happy to have the final two in our house. But we were four for a very long time, and, you know, we always had, my oldest brother had a game, like, I don't know when, the Sony game or PS1, whichever one at the time. And he always gave us a lot of SHIT with his games. So I just felt like, look, I'm not going to keep dragging, you know, fighting my brother over his game. I'm just going to go watch TV now. Less people to fight over the remote with. So if I just go and watch my thing, everyone go play the game. So that was how the love for film even started coming in. I always wanted to be an actor anyway, like the cliche story. But like, when you're growing up in a very typical Nigerian family, that is not even an option. But one of my fond memories as a child, being the very dramatic child that I was, I remember watching Barney and Friends, and I began crying that I wanted to be the Derek on the show. Yeah, that was very dramatic. But yeah, so that was something, but I just never knew how it was going to marginalize. I never thought of, you know, this was going to be something that could happen. So, you know, the typical go to college, study something. I was going to be a medical doctor, gynecologist to be precise, and finally just didn't get in. So whether it's fate or chance, I don't know, but I failed all the exams and landed me into business, and I started doing business courses from there. So I moved from Nigeria to Malaysia and then did my degree there, then came over to Ireland, did my MA in business, and then started working as a fund accountant. But like, a part of me is like, this is not what I want to do. So when I had the chance to sort of like break free and do something else, and acting was what gave me that footstep to kind of like, okay, let me start somewhere from one of the things I'm passionate about and see how that goes. And started from there and enrolled in the writing course. I've always been writing anyway, but like I wanted to kind of like do it professionally because I don't know what it was for me that maybe it was my upbringing, my family, where I felt like, okay, these people will never take me seriously, my family, I mean, if I didn't do this professionally, for them to see that, okay, I'm not just, you know, way wishing or daydreaming, I'm actually serious about this. So that was me going to do the MA, and the best thing for me that I did, the best decision I made.
So you decided to completely leave your job and do a master's in screenwriting.
Yeah.
In IADT, in the film school.
Yes.
And the goal of that obviously is to write a feature film and a TV kind of Bible, isn't it?
Yeah.
And did that, so was that quite groundbreaking for you? Was that you were then ready, like, right, I'm going to go into the film industry now, you know?
Yes, absolutely.
Amazing, okay.
Absolutely, because I mean, for me, like, there was a, you always have to have story, right? So we're all storytellers in one way or another, whether it's by acting or writing or whatever it is, directing. So I always knew that storytelling side was there. But what I had going in to do the MA was it gave me a bit of a pattern now to see, okay, this is how, you know, this is how, okay, learn the rules and then forget it, right? But that gave me a bit of discipline to be able to sit down and see how you write a whole feature and see how it works and da da da. And of course, with the whole lectures and lecturers and the discipline and the, what I call those tons and tons of pitchings, and, you know, so that, yeah, that just threw me into it and know that, look, no one is going to hold your hand, especially when you're not doing it as a child anymore. You know, you've come through things, as most people can relate, and then you've come through some things, you've left life, you've left family behind, you've even cut off friends to get to where you are now. So there's a bit of rootlessness that comes with that, where you're like, you know what, I'm going to do this, whether the ship sinks or you know, or sail. Like, so.
Yeah, it takes a lot of, I guess, ambition or a kind of a dream that you desperately cling to, and you, like, the world keeps trying to knock you off, yeah, but you're just going to keep clinging. And so then you did your master's and you wrote a short as kind of like your final piece for the master's, and you invited a director to come and work on that. So how was that experience?
That was great, because I always wanted to, when I was doing the thing, the course, they told us you could use the instrument in college and blah, blah, blah. You could use one of those things. And I thought, oh yeah, we're just going to write something and just get people in and shoot in the studio. But then the way the story came to me was sort of like very personal, and I just wanted to do it right. So when Lear offered to read the script, and I was like, okay, and I know the quality of the grad films are really like up there. So I sent her two scripts. She read the two. She really fell in love with one of them. And I was like, great. So that was a good process, because us, because we're always in college, so we always see each other. So having to talk about things, and this was, I mean, fair play to Leah. This was something completely off her world. Like, mm-hmm. Leah would come to, because it's based on a Nigerian family. This Demi Isaac played the lead in the film, but it's based on a Nigerian woman who is going through miscarriages and how she's dealing with that as a Nigerian Irish contemporary family. So a lot of it was very centered around her religion and her beliefs and things like that. So even back then, Leah would come to my church every Sunday to soak herself into that
culture,
world, to understand. Because there were some things I wrote in the script where at first reading, you're like, Jesus, this is way too much. Can you? No. But then after the first time Leah came, and she was like, oh, Derek, I understand that world now. Like, and she kept coming and coming until we made the film.
Very good.
Yeah.
That's probably her documentary background, kind of wanting to fully engage with the culture and immerse yourself. That's cool. And then how was that film? How was it for you to watch?
It was great, because it was a student film and, you know, of course, done with passion and everything. But we were surprised that the film got into DIFF and won the, what they call the award, the short, Irish best?
Yes, best Irish short.
Best Irish short.
Yeah.
And then went ahead to be nominated, shortlisted for the BAFTA for this category. So that was
incredible.
One of those things where you're like, whoa, our small film that could.
Amazing. Yeah, amazing. And then you sort of decided that you wanted to direct your next short. So tell me about that. Was that always there and you just now felt ready?
Yes. How that came about for me was after I wrote, because I wrote the feature first before I wrote the short, and the feature just felt like, okay, this, what I realized, I tend to write things that are very much drawn to, you know, the Nigerian-Irish black community sort of vibe and things like that. And I felt like maybe if I get a chance to write and also direct, that wouldn't be so much of a leap then. But it'd be more like, okay, I'm doing something that I'm, you know, like write what you know, direct what you know. Maybe for me, it felt that way. So after I finished that experience with So All My Darlings, I felt a bit more confident now to be like, okay, let me try to do a short film now and direct it and see. And fair play to directors, it is so hard.
Yeah,
it is so hard. But it made me understand and have the utmost respect now for directors, because as an actor, like, or coming from an actor or directing or writing side of things, for me, what I realized that I didn't know before is when you write something, you write it from your heart. Then when you're directing it, you direct it from your head. So it's at some point you take off a hat of the writer now and step in as a director, because now you're having communications with the producers saying what is realistic, what needs to go. And those decisions as a writer is hard to take, because you're like, my darlings, I can't, you know. But yeah, so that was a good experience for me. So,
amazing. Yeah. And you worked with Carbonated Comet in Limerick. So obviously there was a regional grant that you applied for and you got successful with.
Yeah, we got so lucky. Yeah. We were one of the six who got selected. And it was a great experience. But like, it came off from the back of a major rejection that I had earlier that year. So the day I had a no from something else, that was the day this happened. So I felt like, okay.
Another
door has been opened. Yeah. Yeah.
Very good.
And so we went into that with all my broken hearts, you know, turn it into something. Yeah. So I took the rejection and all and put it into that, which was a good thing, because sometimes that just helps me to get ready for this next one now. So I went in this one with like, I've lost that one, I am coming for this one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So so it was a great experience, because Carbonated Comet came in very early on, and we only had to work with filmmakers in the Midwest. So the whole scheme is to develop and bring out more emerging filmmakers from Clare, Limerick and Tipperary. So me, from my Limerick background, like, you know, that was sort of a thing that I didn't even know I was going to get the opportunity. But, you know, they asked me, look, I was just honest and said, look, this is something coming back to Limerick, because Limerick is where it all started for me. Like, coming to Ireland, Limerick was my first place, and before I moved to Dublin. And it just felt great having to live my life in Limerick and then coming back as to make a film in Limerick. It just felt like, and then to make it with locals from Limerick who, you know, understood the story and are passionate about the story and know, you know, the world and everything. It just felt, I felt like everyone had a bit of that thing in them coming back home to make something. That was how it felt for me.
Hey, hope you're enjoying the episode so far. And here's a little bit of F&I news for you. We are hosting our biggest day-long networking event this September, the 24th, at Griffith College in Dublin. You can check out our Facebook page for more info. There'll be panels, Q&As, speed networking, and lots of surprise guests. All you have to do to attend is become an FNI supporter on buymeacoffee.com/FNI and sign up to become a member, and we will be contacting you with more info. Cool, thanks. So your story, I won't give too much away, but it's set in a direct provision centre. And it's two young brothers who are Nigerian.
Yeah.
And it's okay to say it's a horror, right?
Yes, it's a horror.
Yeah, but it's kind of like a psychological horror,
yes,
I guess.
Yes, it is, yeah.
So it's got some familiar genre ingredients, but then it's also sort of, yeah, it's crossing lines of different styles, I guess you could say. So is that sort of where you want to try and go? Is that like, are those the genres, or is that the world you love to inhabit?
Very great question, because I've been getting that now. And funny enough, like, that was the first time I did a horror, like you said, psychological horror. And thank you so much for pointing that out, because it was from the get go. We didn't want to do, it wasn't like we're going to scare the ass out of you now. Like, we just wanted to do a psychological horror from real societal issues. And this was the first time. The story just came to me back in 2020. During the lockdown, I saw a picture of a guy who was in direct provision as an asylum seeker, and he had this mold all over his body, this skin infection from the mold in his room.
Mm.
And me seeing that picture just kind of, there was something that triggered in me, and I was like, and he couldn't move to a new center because first of all, the lockdown was happening, and you know, he just couldn't change to a new center, and it was spreading all over his body. And as soon as I saw that picture, you know, it became my talisman to want to tell the story. So it came to me just like that as a horror, because I was like, this is a nightmare.
Mm.
So that was how it all started. And that was the only thing I've written in horror. But like in general, like there's a thread for me where it feels like whatever I write, there's that element of exploring, you know, dark territories of the human experience, the human mind, you know, whether it is trauma or psychological horror or thriller, but it's all very much drawn from real societal issues that, you know, and then I make it into genre in my writing, yes.
And are you hoping, so you said you had this originally as a feature and then you downsized it into a short, so are you hoping that this could be a calling card to go back to, you know, develop your feature?
This was a different, no, the feature was a different
one.
Oh,
it was a different project, sorry,
this
okay.
Was, yeah, no, I read that, yeah, it's a different thriller sort of like, yeah. And then this was, yeah, this one just came to me as a short.
Okay.
I don't know. Like, it's a bit of a challenge to see, oh, can I do a full-blown feature horror all the way through? I don't know yet, but who knows? But right now, it just came to me as a short. And through that engine scheme, engine scheme was a good avenue to sort of, like, try and see. And I feel like short films, I might be wrong, but I feel like short films is also an avenue to kind of like do and say different things as a filmmaker, and you know, not to, you know.
Of course, it totally has its own. Like, I saw a wonderful short by Wong Kar-wai 2 weeks ago on Mubi. It's a long short. It's not a normal short, but it's beautiful.
What is it called?
Of course I can't remember. It's a great story. It's a very high class prostitute who hires a tailor, and on the first day that he has to work for her, she pleasures him and she says, now you know me and you know what I need to wear, and he completely falls in love and becomes infatuated and is obsessed with her.
Oh god.
And he makes the most beautiful clothes, and I won't give any further, but that's kind of the start of the story.
Wow.
It's a really good short, and of course it's Wong Kar-wai, so the clothes are stunning, the sets are stunning, you know, everything has this kind of claustrophobic poetry to it. So shorts are definitely, you know, have merit, and it's not just a calling card, or it's not just, I've actually never been smart enough to make a short that would lead to a feature. I always make a short because I think the story's really good, or I get drawn into a subject and then I finish the short and I want to move on to another subject.
I'm similar to that, you know, in that regard. And first of all, that film you just mentioned, I definitely want to watch it now because I love the premise already.
It's really good. Yeah. It's really clever.
Yeah. And sometimes I feel like short films are just like, you know, you have something to say, you've said it.
Yeah, that's for sure. And you found the right length or the right shape to carry it.
To tell it. And yeah, it's enough now. So
yeah.
I don't know.
So what's on the horizon for Derek? Where next?
Hopefully to make more short films. And I have 2 features in development at the moment, so hopefully get more shorts under my belt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, work with more amazing people, collaborate more, you know, with more producers. Mm-hmm. And get a directing tight.
Yes.
and
do you feel like you definitely want to keep directing, or do you also like writing and then handing that over, or
After this one? And this one was a tough one. This was a bit, you know, for the, anyways. But yeah, after this one now, I feel like, okay, it's something I want to keep doing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's something I want to keep doing. What I might be, hopefully in the future, like the goal for me, or the prayer rather, is I start now and keep doing more of these stories that are very important to me, and directing them, and maybe one day, you know, I can direct in stories of other people who have similar experiences, and who want to, I can be directing those stories as well without having to, or collaborating as a writer and develop and directing them, but like to have more opportunities to direct and tell, help other people tell stories that they want to tell, just like Leah helped me tell that story, and the start. So, you know, you never know.
Shout out to Leah Campbell.
Shout out to Leah.
I always think it's an interesting question, this idea of the voice and the director having a voice, whether you take someone else's text or you take a story from the world or you generate the material from your imagination. Because it's something like I come from documentary, so I would take real world stories. And now I'm moving into drama. But I've taken the first drama I did was an adaptation of a work by Donal Ryan. And then the second one was Sarah Ahern's writing. And I feel very comfortable and content taking material and then making it completely my own.
Okay.
And I have to love it and identify with it. So there has to be something in the material that I resonate with so I can connect to it. And then I feel like it becomes mine. But I sometimes have this kind of question, like, shouldn't I be generating everything from scratch? But I don't.
Absolutely not.
You just have to find the material that speaks to you.
Yes, that speaks to you. And I feel like that way it even becomes, well, I'm not, sometimes, of course, people can step in and even make it worse. That's going to get me wrong. But like, I feel like that's even a great way, because if you have great minds, just like, you know, Sarah is a brilliant writer and you great at what you do. So that combination could even elevate the thing even more. Like what we saw on that screen for Safest Houses, you know, I know the name changed because...
Yeah, it was originally called Too Slow.
Okay, yeah.
And then we lost a scene. It just wasn't working. So, and that scene justified the title. And without that scene, the title became a little derogatory.
Okay.
So we had to shift. That's why that happened.
See?
Yeah.
But like that collaboration helps a lot. And I absolutely, if you find the right team and you want to keep telling this kind of stories, like, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, that would be the goal, like, not to be having to write so much and just have...
It's very time consuming.
Is it?
To write, oh my God. Because I've written like a couple of... I wrote a feature and a few shorts. No one ever needs to read them. I will not burden anyone with that task. But it's a lot of time and it's a lot of isolation, I guess. Whereas I think if for directing, it's such a sociable endeavor and it's so... frenzied. I love the chaos of it. Whereas I find I love reading and I love other people's writing, but I feel I've great admiration for people who write because of the determination it takes and the solitude.
And I wonder how you do it then, because then you're taking out someone's, like, you know, you're just not, you're leaning into that world, and like you said, you're then making it more like, you know, you imagine yourself completely. And I know some directors who would be like, Jesus, it's gonna be way harder. And I feel that way as well, like coming into someone else's world and then having to make it your own, like that would be tough. So are there any kind of like tips to, is it just find a material that speaks to you? What if you have a material that doesn't speak to you?
Then it's gonna be totally inauthentic. So I do commercials as well, TV commercials. That never speaks to me. It's horrible. I hate ads. I think they're woeful. So in that case, it's just because I don't want to be poor anymore and I need to pay my rent. So I do commercials every now and again. The scripts in commercials are shocking bad. Like, they're just woeful. And people get stupid money for, I mean, if you're looking for easy money, get into script for commercial work or copywriting or any of that stuff. It's the only time where I sort of sacrifice the integrity that I would have towards my filmmaking, because if it's doc or drama, I have to believe in the characters. I have to want them to thrive in some way in this, you know, alternate reality. I have to love them, even if they're, you know, completely flawed and troubled. I have to feel their humanity in some way. So if that's not there, then I can't, because I get lots of script offers. Actually, I get shorts and features sent to me, which is great, and I love that, and I'll always read them. I think it's brilliant. But if they don't work for me, and it's not because the material isn't well executed, then I'll just be really honest. And I'll say that doesn't align with my take on the world or my you know, aesthetic sensibilities. Commercials, on the other hand, I'll just do whatever needs to be done. I won't really care. Like, I'll do my best. I'll really put in,
of course,
time and energy, and I'll, you know, really try and imagine myself in that world. But
Maybe even for acting, maybe for actors, like, it feels that way. We were like, okay, ad, sure, just go smile, get quick money, and then
totally,
I look for the role that's juicy where I can show all my, I think I can relate to that.
Yeah, I feel like there's there's such instability in this career, this line of work.
Absolutely.
So you're sort of at, you know, for me, I'm not fully in a position to say no to whatever. So I do say no a lot, but occasionally I just have to say yes out of basic necessity, you know. So it'll be lovely to finally be in a position where I never do an ad again and I can just take on the projects I love. But it takes time to get stable. And even people way up the ladder still reach these points of total instability.
The business we're in. Totally, yeah. I'm like, why do we do it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess, so at this stage, one thing I'd love to ask you is, like, you're still really early in your career. You're still a baby, basically. Yeah. Which is, but you've, and yet with the two shorts that have, you know, you've created, they've done really well.
Oh, thank you.
Which is very exciting. So you obviously are off to a very promising start, which is amazing.
Thank you so much. That's very kind.
And I feel like the fact that you've had such a meandering journey to get to this point and not just film school and, you know, yada, yada.
Yeah.
I feel like that can be a really informative experience. And a lot of the filmmakers that I love would have sort of meandered to get to where they got to. Or like I was a behavioral psychologist for a while before I became a filmmaker. So I sort of, and, you know, not, I loved what I did, but not enough to stick with it. But it'll always inform my thinking, you know. I have a certain level of training and I have certain job experience and this kind of stuff. So I think it's really, really good. So I'd love to ask you, what would you say to people who aren't in the film industry and are thinking of making their way into it, you know, from something totally different? What would you kind of, what would you say?
I'll say save up. Don't just quit your day job, because, you know, a lot of people get, like, I have friends who, the moment, you know, when I began, they were like, you don't know what you're doing with your life. And then when they start seeing, okay, something is coming out of this, you know, everyone is kind of like, okay, maybe he does know what he's doing a bit. But there were still moments where you just need to be willing to go on that journey on your own and take that big scissors and be ready to cut people off ruthlessly. Because at the end of the day, it's a very personal journey. And when you start off, before you start meeting and making your community, it starts off very lonely. So just save up. Don't be in a hurry to quit your day job. And just keep your eyes on your determination and just keep, like, even if it's just taking evening classes, even if it's, if you're writing, even if it's about writing after hours or whatever it is, just, it might look like it's not producing much, but that keeps your body and soul and your spirits at work and you're driving forwards to something. And you'll be so surprised how the universe can just turn in a second and everything will just align. But you just got to be ready. And the only way you'll be ready is to keep doing it little by little. And one day, by fate or by chance or whatever way, it's going to push you and you'll find yourself swimming through. Yeah.
So, great.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful finish. That's great.
Thank you, Mia.
Cool. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me.
Hey,
it's been
cheers.
A pleasure talking to you.
Brilliant.
Thank you.